Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show where we slice through the latest research to get you straight to the fascinating insights.
Glad to be here.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into the really cutting edge world of 3D human motion.
Yeah, it's a hot topic.
Our mission is to unpack a paper titled Geometric Neural Distance Fields for Learning Human Motion Priors, which introduces something genuinely groundbreaking. Neural Riemannian Motion Fields, or NRMF for short.
That's one, NRMF.
We're going to try and understand why recovering realistic 3D human motion is such a fundamental challenge in computer vision.
It really is.
And look at where current methods maybe fall short, and then dive into how NRMF offers a robust, consistent, and physically believable solution.
Right, and it does this by modeling not just the static poses, but the actual dynamics of motion itself. That's the
dynamics. Okay. Get ready for some aha moments, hopefully, about how these lifelike digital humans are brought to life. So let's dive right into this. I mean, think about it. Motion is just, it's intrinsic to human experience, right? We're always moving, always engaging with our surroundings.
Constantly. Yeah.
But translating that, that fluid, complex movement into the digital realm, especially from limited data, that's where things get incredibly tricky.
That's a great point. What's truly fascinating here is how critical and challenging it is to accurately recover someone's full 3D motion from often sparse or noisy observations.
This data,
like maybe a single camera view or even just a few joint markers you might get from, say, a basic motion capture setup.
Right. And this isn't just about cool animation for movies, is it?
Oh, not at all. It's vital for things like truly immersive virtual reality, precision in clinical diagnostics. Mm-hmm. Even high-performance sports analysis relies on this stuff.
Okay. And despite, significant progress in learning-based techniques, current methods still really struggle. We're talking about three major hurdles, aren't we?
Pretty much, yeah. Consistently delivering reliable, temporally coherent, so consistent over time, and physically plausible 3D motion recovery.
And doing all that while still managing to generate diverse lifelike movements, that sounds like a tall order.
It is, exactly. You might wonder, why is it so fundamentally hard? Well, you have the intrinsic complexity of human motion itself, which is incredibly nuanced. Mm. We're not just rigid boxes moving around,
Right. Our joints have limits, our bodies interact.
Precisely. Then you add real-world problems like occlusions, where parts of the body are hidden from view.
Like if someone walks behind a table.
Exactly. Or rapid, unpredictable movements, and the inherent ambiguities that come from trying to reconstruct a full 3D scene from limited 2D observations. It's like trying to perfectly recreate a complex dance from just a few blurry snapshots.
That's a good analogy, and previous approaches haven't quite cracked it, have they? We've seen various types of methods emerge, each with their own set of limitations.
That's right. For instance, you have your basic frame-by-frame methods, things like NRDF, PoseNDF, yeah. Deposer.
And the issue there is they process each moment independently.
Yeah, essentially. It's like looking at a flipbook one page at a time without seeing the actual flow between the pages. It completely jeopardizes generalization and, crucially, temporal consistency. It misses the bigger motion story.
Okay, so frame by frame is out for smooth motion. What about methods that do try to capture motion over time?
Right, so then you have dynamics-based methods. Some leverage techniques like variational autoencoders or VAEs, things like motion VAE, humor, yeah. Phase MP.
That sound promising, but...
But they often suffer from something called posterior collapse, which kind of limits their ability to capture really diverse motions. Mm. And maybe more importantly, they can accumulate errors over time. This leads to significant drift.
Drift. Oh, right. You mentioned that, like a digital character slowly floating away from the ground.
Exactly. Or sinking into it over a long animation. That kind of drift just instantly breaks the immersion.
Yeah, if I'm building a virtual character for a game, I definitely don't want them slowly levitating through the floor or sinking into it like quicksand. That sounds like a nightmare for animator.
Precisely. It destroys the illusion. And even more recent, really powerful models like diffusion models MDM, for instance.
They're getting a lot of buzz.
They are. And they're promising for motion generation, definitely. But they tend to work best capturing short pose sequences, often in very clean, controlled settings. Or they need extra help, like additional conditioning.
Conditioning like?
Like telling it the specific action being performed, yeah. Or giving it a text description. Plus, conditioning them to real world, messy observations isn't trivial, and their inference times, how long they take to run, can be quite long.
Hmm. Okay. It sounds like the deeper you go into capturing motion, the more subtle and tricky the problems become. You mentioned some other limitations too, like with acceleration.
Yeah, exactly. Some other methods, like RoHM, they suffer from low estimation accuracy, partly because they have limited handling of higher order motion dynamics, things like acceleration.
So how the speed changes.
Right. If you don't account for how a body speeds up or slows down properly or how different joints coordinate their movements, you end up with unnatural, kind of oversmooth transitions.
Like a digital puppet whose movements lack that natural human snap or fluidity.
That's a perfect analogy. Or they might suffer from drift, too. Another approach, MyManifold, does factor in accelerations, but it's often limited to short, fixed-time windows. And its model kind of treats each joint's acceleration in isolation.
Which isn't how bodies work, right? Everything's connected.
Exactly. It neglects the essential interdependencies of the body joints. It doesn't treat the human body as a single interconnected system.
Okay, so given all these deep-seated issues and the fundamental complexity, how do you even begin to build a model that's general purpose, expressive, and robust, one that truly captures the full dynamics of realistic human motion?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And this is where Neural Riemannian Motion Fields, NRMF, steps in.
All right, let's turn our attention properly to NRMF then. It's described as a novel 3D generative human motion prior. And here's where it gets truly fascinating, you were saying. Its core innovation goes way beyond just modeling static poses.
Way beyond. What NRMF does differently is that it explicitly models human motion in what's called the zero-level set of a collection of neural distance fields.
Okay, that sounds technical. Break that down a bit. Zero-level set.
Neural distance fields.
Right. Okay, so think of it like this. Imagine a really complex landscape, like a mountain range. NRMF learns the exact surface or zero level set where all realistic human movements exist within that landscape. It defines the boundary of what's natural.
Ah, okay. So it learns the shape of natural motion.
Sort of, yeah. And it does this using these things called neural distance fields. They're essentially mathematical functions learned by neural networks that tell you how far away any given motion is from a truly natural, plausible one.
So it's not just checking if a pose looks right, but if the motion itself, the way it moves, fits within the boundaries of what's actually possible for a human. Exactly right. And the real breakthrough, the core innovation here, is that it doesn't just model the zeroth order information, that's the pose itself, the snapshot.
Right, the static picture.
Yeah. It also crucially models the first order dynamics, that's your pose transitions or velocity, and the second order dynamics, which is acceleration.
Wow. Pose, velocity, and acceleration.
All three. Think of it like this. Most systems just see a static photograph, the pose. Some might see a short video clip, maybe getting the velocity. But NRMF sees the entire movement story, not just where a limb is, but how fast it's moving and how quickly it's speeding up or slowing down.
That's incredible. How does it actually implement that, capturing all three levels? Does it use separate components or one giant network?
It actually uses three specialized implicit neural networks. They're conditioned, meaning they take context into account, and each one is specifically designed to understand one of these orders of motion. So you have one dedicated network for pose, one for transition, and one for acceleration.
Three dedicated experts, essentially.
Okay.
And the Riemannian part of the name Neural Riemannian Motion Fields sounds very mathematical.
Really?
What does that signify for us? What's the implication?
Yeah, the Riemannian aspect is crucial. It's not just a fancy word. Imagine trying to describe, I don't know, a ballet dancer's perfect pirouette. You need to understand not just their body's position, the pose.
Sure.
But also how fast they're spinning, the velocity, and how they accelerate into and out of that turn.
Yeah.
The Riemannian part means the framework is built on a mathematical space specifically. The product space of joint rotations, their angular velocities and angular accelerations that inherently understands the geometry, the sort of curved nature of how joints actually articulate and move together.
So it respects the physical constraints and connections of the body. It's not just treating coordinates in a flat space.
Exactly. It understands the curves and constraints of how bodies actually move. This is absolutely key to generating movements that look truly natural, like a human, not like a stiff robot just hitting coordinates.
Okay, that makes sense. It's baking in the physics, almost. Now, how does it actually make motion flow? Once it has this incredible understanding of what plausible motion looks like, this learned surface of natural movement, how does it apply it? Let's say I give it some messy input motion.
Right, so NRMF introduces a really novel algorithm. It's an adaptive step hybrid algorithm for projecting any input motion onto that learned manifold, that surface of plausible motions.
Projecting. Like snapping it onto the surface.
Kind of, but smarter. Think of it like a smart correction system. It takes any motion, maybe a noisy one or impossible one, and it projects it onto the learned space of realistic movements, ensuring it adheres to what the model knows is natural.
And it's not just a simple snap, you said.
No, it's clever. It's a three-stage adaptive step hybrid gradient descent. Basically, it iteratively nudges the input motion, step by step, closer and closer to what's physically plausible according to its learned distance fields for pose, velocity, and acceleration.
Got it. Iterative refinement. And then to actually generate motion, to like roll out a sequence.
Yeah, to truly bring these motions to life, NRMF devises another novel component, a geometric and robust integrator.
An integrator, like for calculating how things change over time.
Exactly. Think of this as the system's ability to play back or generate physically realistic motion sequences over time. You give it a plausible starting point, a valid pose, velocity, and acceleration state, and maybe a sequence of intended future accelerations.
And it rolls out the motion.
It produces a consistent motion sequence based on those inputs. But here's the really clever part. This integrator isn't just blindly following instructions. It constantly uses the learned NDFs to correct itself. It essentially rebuilds a consistent state sequence from projected measurements at each step.
So it's generating and correcting simultaneously?
Pretty much, yeah. It's correcting potential errors in all the dynamic components, pose, velocity, acceleration as it goes.
So what's the big benefit of that? The so what?
The so what is huge. This integrator acts as a powerful denoising mechanism for the entire trajectory and its derivatives. More importantly, it's a crucial drift correction mechanism. It actively mitigates that accumulation of errors over time we talked about earlier.
Ah, so it directly tackles the drift problem that plagued older methods.
Directly. This means you get smoother, much more natural-looking motion that doesn't gradually degrade or start looking weird over longer sequences. That's key to maintaining visual integrity.
Okay, that is a huge step forward for digital human motion. And how does NRMF learn all this complexity? What kind of data is it trained on?
It models its neural fields hierarchically, as we mentioned, and it's trained to predict the distance, essentially how far off something is, to the closest real example from large data sets of human motion.
Real motion capture data.
Exactly. High quality motion capture data sets. Specifically, the paper mentions leveraging the AMS data set quite heavily.
AMS, I've heard of that. It's quite comprehensive, isn't it?
It is. It contains a huge amount of diverse, high quality human motion captures. So NRMF learns from that. But it doesn't just learn the poses. It also extracts the transitions, velocities, and accelerations directly from this data. So it's learning the dynamics directly from how humans actually move.
Learning from the real thing. Okay. So with all the sophisticated modeling, the three NDFs, the projection, the integrator, what's the real-world impact? How does NRMF actually help us in, you know, practical applications?
Right, the payoff. Well, NRMF acts as a powerful generative prior. Think of it as a foundational understanding of human motion that enables several critical applications.
Okay, like what?
Let's start with motion denoising and estimation. The task here is basically recovering plausible motion sequences from noisy 2D or 3D observations.
Noisy observations, like...
Think cleaning up messy motion capture data, maybe from a less than perfect setup. Or, importantly, fitting motion to partial 3D observations, like when body parts are occluded, hidden behind something in the scene.
Right, the table example again.
Exactly. And NRMF, because it incorporates these priors, this understanding, for all the essential components of dynamics, pose, transition, and acceleration, it has a significant advantage. The paper shows it consistently outperforming many state-of-the-art methods.
Outperforming things like humor, phase MP, row HM, even MDM in some cases.
Yeah, across various tasks and metrics. Because those earlier methods, often neglecting that higher order information like acceleration, would frequently produce unrealistic results.
Like the oversmooth transitions we talked about.
Exactly. Or they'd suffer from that persistent error accumulation, the drift. NRMF effectively fills this plausibility gap, making the motion look right while still staying faithful to the original observation as much as possible.
And the numbers back this up, you said.
They do. The paper reports significant and consistent improvements across a whole range of standard human motion data sets. AMAS, i3DB, 3DPW, EgoBody, PROX.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and across different error metrics like mean per joint position error, acceleration error, and so on. Crucially, it performs better and behaves more stably even when the input data gets really noisy.
Which is common in the real world.
Very common. So this means you get a much more reliable and natural looking output, even from imperfect input.
Okay, that's denoising Estimation. What else?
Right. The second major application area is motion generation and in-betweening.
In-betweening, like filling in missing frames in animation.
Exactly. So this is about creating believable and diverse motions, perhaps just from an initial pose. Or, yes, filling in unobserved poses in incomplete sequences.
So essentially it can. Imagine realistic movements just from a starting point.
Yeah.
Or fill in the blanks in an existing animation sequence.
Precisely. NRMF can start from a given initial state pose and transition, then roll out the motion sequence using its learned dynamics, using that geometric integrator we discussed.
And it keeps correcting itself using the priors.
Right. The whole sequence is then further refined by its transition and acceleration priors. It can even deduce mask between frame transitions, intelligently inferring what likely happened in the gap.
That's pretty smart. And the so what for the listener here, for someone wanting to use this?
The so what is that this results in generated motions that strike a really desirable balance between being utterly plausible, looking physically correct, and wonderfully diverse. It doesn't just generate the same motion every time.
So variety and realism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And importantly, the paper shows NRMF achieves the lowest acceleration error compared to baseline methods in generation tasks.
Lower acceleration error means?
It means more stable motion synthesis with less jitter, less visual noise. Mm-hmm. This translates directly to smoother, more fluid, more natural looking generated animations.
And visually, does it hold up if you just look at the output?
Apparently so. The paper mentions that the learned pose and transition distributions by NRMF better capture the GT ground truth distribution compared to other models. Visual evidence seems to back up the quantitative results.
Okay. Now for the practical side, is this something you can run easily? What about computation time?
Yeah, the practicality.
Mm-hmm.
While NRMF is incredibly powerful, those iterative updates, the projection steps, the integration, they do take time. They can incur significant runtime.
How significant?
The paper quotes approximately 7 minutes to process a 30-second video clip at 30 frames per second, running on a pretty beefy GPU, an NVIDIA A100.
7 minutes for 30 seconds. Okay, so it's not real time for complex scenes yet.
Not for this level of processing, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the quality and consistency it delivers, especially for things like high-fidelity animation production or critical scientific analysis, that compute time could definitely be a worthwhile trade-off.
Right. Depends on the application. Okay. Let's try and bring it all together then. What's truly striking here? What's the main takeaway?
I think it's how NRMF fundamentally shifts the paradigm for 3D human motion modeling. It's not just incremental. By rigorously respecting the geometry of articulated motions, that Riemannian aspect, and explicitly modeling pose, transition, and acceleration as these sophisticated neural distance fields, it really bridges the gap between purely learning-based methods and more traditional physics-based modeling.
Getting the best of both worlds, maybe.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
And its novel algorithms, the projection and that geometric integrator, those are key. They are the mechanisms ensuring temporal consistency and robustness against noise.
Leading to better accuracy and more lifelike trajectories.
Exactly. This approach tackles those long-standing problems of drift and unnatural jittery movements really head on.
Okay. So while its iterative updates mean it takes time to compute currently, and maybe the theoretical understanding of the integrators could be deepened.
Yeah, there's always more research to do.
The path it opens up is incredibly exciting.
Absolutely. Which leads to the big question, right? So what does this all mean for the future if we connect this to the bigger picture?
Yeah.
Imagine what new frontiers in, say, immersive virtual reality or hyper-realistic animation for films and games or even precise clinical diagnostics for movement disorders. Imagine what could become possible as these kinds of motion models get even faster and maybe more theoretically robust.
Mm, faster and more robust.
How might this technology change how we interact with digital avatars? Or how we create virtual worlds? Could it even give us new, powerful ways to understand and perhaps even treat human movement disorders by analyzing motion in such detail?
That's definitely something profound to mull over. How far can we push this realism and understanding of human movement?
Exactly. It certainly gives you something to think about.